do you have to lose by trying something new like Trump? What the hell do you have to lose? You have to lose. You have to lose.
Mr. Trump is so stupid. My God, my God.
We won with poorly educated. I love the poorly educated.
We ought to have a prayer called the goddamn prayer. God damn them to hell, please.
Sean Spicer, our press secretary, gave alternative facts to that.
But you know what? You don't impeach people when they're doing a good job.
Because we're going to go in there, we're going to impeach the motherfucker.
Welcome to the Crab Diving Show with your hosts, Ryan Pfeiffer and Patrick Vile.
Happy Monday, everybody. It's Crab Diving Live, hurtling at you from Pensacola, Florida, the Redneck Riviera, U.S. of A. It's a little bit after 2 p.m. on the Pacific Coast. Oh, don't knock that over. That's boiling water. A little bit after 5 if your ear holes are sucking us in live out east. If it isn't that time, perhaps you're listening to us as a rerun on the Crab Diving Network, streaming for you 24/7. Maybe you've gone and done downloaded us as a podcast at iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, your favorite podcasting application type thingy, or we're always available at crabdiving.com. However, whenever, wherever you are receiving us, we appreciate the crap out of it.
Defecation. Or
ooh. We're going to be here for the next couple of hours. All kinds of shit to talk about. Trump be talking. Trump be squawking. Trump is an asshole.
Oh, yes.
And other stuff that happened over the weekend. And some bleed over from Fatalist Friday.
Bleed.
A couple of stories that didn't get to there. So strap in, everybody. Strap on. Join us on social media at Crab Diving, CrabDiving. You can also hurl us a message over to our Facebook page at facebook.com/crabdiving. And that's it. Let's see what's going on. My name is Patrick Vile.
My name's Ryan Pfeiffer. And I got to tell you, this Joe Walsh guy that is, and I'm doing this air quotes, running for president. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
What a piece of
Tea Party asshole.
Yes. And I got to say, I'm listening to all these fucking media outlets giving this motherfucker time. You're treating these Republicans like you treated Donald Trump the last time around. You know what I mean? You're not calling them out on their shit, and it's going to happen again, you fucking dickhead.
This will help. I mean, Joe Walsh is coming at him from the right, yeah. Whereas Bill Weld, you know, is a little libertarian-y, so he's got, I think he's okay with gay marriage and maybe pro-choice. But this dog is
making Joe Walsh is a fucking
crazy
birther, man.
But this Joe Walsh is coming at from the right.
Yeah, I get the strategery of it, but what is sad is like nobody in our news is calling anything out for what it is. We're steeped in white supremacy and this fucking bullshit.
Well, he is.
Yeah, and so is Trump. The whole Republican.
No, I mean
party.
Joe Walsh is.
Yeah.
He claims to have had an epiphany. And every time he's being called out on the bullshit that he said in the past and done, he said, well, you know, I realized that I helped create Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, well, so what does he want? People to applaud him and vote for his ass? And God, I listened to MSNBC, their fucking interview today. What softballs?
Which one? He was on a couple. He was on Morning Joe. Then he was on with Craig Melvin.
I think I heard Craig Melvin. And I'm like, why are you treating him like a human being? This is Joe Walsh. He's a birther. He's a fucking racist.
He asked him about that.
Yeah, I know. I know he did. And then he asked him some other questions that made him seem fucking sane. I'm just saying that God, we're giving these racist platforms when they don't deserve one. Like, does Joe Walsh really deserve, like, a spot in our political conversation? You know, they're just a white supremacist wacko.
He's a former congressman, white supremacist wacko, and radio dude.
Yeah.
No. Tweet us during the show, like I said, at Crab Diving. And thanks for those that buy shit through our Amazon portal. When you go to buy shit at Amazon, go to crabdiving.com/Amazon. And whatever you buy during that session.
We get paid, baby.
And the dog just jumped up here.
Yay.
The puppy.
Right.
Big puppy.
Oh, yes.
I don't know. She's like 20 pounds. Maybe she's not that big, but she's formidable.
She's a lot.
Let's see what's going on in the old headline of fuckaronies.
Yay.
For these mainstream media characters to get all wee-weed up about that.
From the Crab Diving News Studios, deep within the Crab Diving Bunker.
So goddamn deep.
Pensacola, Florida, Dateline, August 26th, 2019.
The year of our fucking Lord.
These are your headlines.
Oh, yes.
Trying to follow the mic, but the dog just knocked. Over at the commie pinko liberal HuffPost, the headline loadeth.
Oh, yes.
It's rainy here in the panhandle today, everybody.
Oh, yeah. It has to do with global warming, right?
Yeah, it might be. Well, this is good news, I guess. Anytime. Oh, well, it's a double good news.
Right.
It's a big business taking a hit, and it's a big pharma business taking a hit.
The drug dealers.
Oklahoma judge, drug maker to blame for opioids.
Oh, wow.
An Oklahoma judge today determined drug maker Johnson & Johnson. He said Johnson. Ooh. That's two Johnsons.
Oh, yeah.
Is responsible for helping fuel the opioid epidemic through its marketing of powerful painkillers.
Wow. So how many years will these fuckers go to jail?
Oh, yeah. Right.
You know.
I have a golden parachute.
You know, I have a friend that went to jail for 12 years for selling shit, you know, pills or whatever. And, you know, maybe the guy shouldn't have been selling them, right? Shouldn't have been.
12 years.
12 fucking years. A handful of pills. How many opioids did Johnson & Johnson scatter about the fucking country? A handful?
Cleveland County District Judge Thad Balkman.
Hi, Thad.
Ordered the healthcare company to pay $500. Well, this is nothing to them. $572.1 million in damages. That's nothing. Johnson & Johnson probably made billions last year. They're probably like, oh.
You know, and
our insurance will pay for that.
And we'll never see it in this country. And no one will ever appreciate it. But the hypocrisy is insane. We're talking about rich white guys selling oxys, hillbilly heroin, flooding the market with it. But they're not going to go to jail. Instead, black people go to jail. Black people go to jail. White people don't go to jail. They get fined. Their company gets fined.
The judge said the opioid crisis has ravaged the state of Oklahoma and must be abated immediately. It's the first time. It's the first in some 2,000 lawsuits by state and local governments seeking to hold Johnson & Johnson, as well as other healthcare companies, responsible for an epidemic that the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says caused a record 47,600 opioid-related overdose deaths in 2017.
Good God. They're only fining them. They're only fining a company, and the people that made the decisions aren't going to fucking jail. That is insane.
I'm sorry, the dog is trying to bite me, and she was making me laugh. I'm not laughing at the opioid crisis. The Oklahoma Attorney General sued Johnson & Johnson in 2017, alleging that they, along with Purdue Pharma, the maker of OxyContin, and Teva Pharmaceutical Industries, that they downplayed opioids' addictive risks through deceptive marketing campaigns.
Oh, shit. I mean, God. They lie.
Johnson & Johnson was the kingpin behind the public health emergency, the attorney general said.
I mean, our justice system is so whacked out, man. Let me understand. The company's fine. No individuals, right?
Yeah, I would assume.
I mean, give the fuck, man. What a joke.
Apparently there was a settlement between the state and Purdue and Teva for $270 million and $85 million respectively.
Wow.
So they got 500 plus from Johnson & Johnson, 270 from Purdue, and 85 from Teva.
But they're still profitable despite these fines, right?
Well, and how much are the CEOs taking home this year?
All of it.
Yeah.
All the fucking money. So nobody's really punished.
And if they leave, golden parachutes. Well, here's $5 million in stock on your way out or something, or $10 million.
You know how much I think each loose pill you're picked up with, at least in this state, is a felony that you don't have a prescription for. Each loose pill is a felony. So how many fucking...
That's crazy.
But think about what they did.
All right.
These people should be in jail the rest of their fucking lives, man.
These Purdue people especially, I don't know how far up it goes, but I thought we kind of knew that the Purdue, the knowledge that some of these, you know, one place in Kentucky sold 6 million pills or something like that, one pharmacy, knew about shit like that. And they were like, oh, well, you know.
They don't care.
Okay, somebody's got a real bad backache.
It's so insane.
In West Virginia.
I mean, this is when Reagan started the war on drugs, did he want to go after Big Pharma or what? I guess not really. Not white people.
No, yeah.
Okay, this is just straight up racism. I'm sorry. I think this, are we supposed to be impressed by this fine to Johnson & Johnson? I mean.
Of course, the company has denied any wrongdoing. And is attempting to point to the role doctors, patients. Stop it.
No, they want to blame. They want to blame the drug dealers lower down on the chain.
Calm down.
You know what I mean?
Calm down. Doctors, patients, pharmacists, and drug dealers have played in the crisis. Oh, yeah. It's not us. We just make it.
I mean, it's disgusting. It really is a joke. This war on drugs is bullshit. It's bullshit. It's bullshit if you're not going to go after Big Pharma. These are the people making the best shit.
But it's the same thing. Look at the immigration. Look who they swoop in and they grab all the undocumented workers and all of the business owners that hired all of the undocumented workers get to sit at home and watch television.
Yeah.
Go hang out at their mansions.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's really crazy.
That's the headline over to the HuffPo.
They just want to put, you know, $500 million to Johnson & Johnson?
Yes.
Why
five,
do
five,
it?
Five and some change.
Why do it? How much money did Johnson, goddamn, this fucking dog, man. How much money did Johnson & Johnson make last year? How much money did Johnson & Johnson make last year, Siri?
I don't think you have to say her name.
Oh, okay. Let's see here.
Unless you have Hey Siri
what is that?
Set up where you just say Hey Siri and it wakes her up. But that means she's listening to all your convos.
Dude, all the time Siri listens to my convos. Hey, we were talking about, I had some suggestions about what we should do with our government. We were talking earlier offline, recorded every fucking word. Isn't that nice?
Oh, great.
I watched that fucking that hack thing about Cambridge Analytica last night. That documentary.
Yeah.
This is not good. We're fucked.
It says, what is this crap? Big tech plans social scores. Human era ending? ?
Ooh.
Well, maybe it's time. We're not doing a great job of stewarding the planet.
Right.
It's this is from Fast Company. It says, Silicon Valley is building a Chinese-style social credit system.
God.
They say, have you heard about China's social credit system? It's a technology-enabled, surveillance-based, nationwide program designed to nudge citizens toward better behavior.
No shit. Better behavior.
The ultimate goal is to, quote, according to the Chinese government, allow the trustworthy to roam everywhere under heaven while making it hard for the discredited to take a single step.
Oh, wow.
That in other words, surveillance
creepy.
State.
Absolutely.
Facial recognition, every corner where they know who you are, where you've been, where you've gone, what you've done.
Yeah. I mean,
and if you're not doing anything wrong, what do you have to hide? Say the bootlickers.
Oh, yes.
And the haters of freedom.
Right. They want a daddy.
But we're safe.
When was the last time our government or corporations, anyone, did anything remotely responsible with our data?
Right.
When is the last time that anything, anyone in big tech did anything remotely responsible with our data? No, I can't remember.
So the social credit system in China has been in place since 2014. That it could evolve into something akin to a financial credit score. It aims to punish for transgressions that can include membership in or support for the Falun Gong or Tibetan Buddhism.
Oh, shit.
Failure to pay debts, excessive video gaming.
Excessive video gaming.
Criticizing the government, late payments, failing to sweep the sidewalk in front of your store or house.
What?
Smoking or playing loud music on trains, jaywalking, and other actions deemed illegal or unacceptable by the Chinese government.
Wow.
But it also can reward points for charitable donations.
Oh.
It's like gamifying your life.
Oh, this was a Black Mirror.
Even taking one of your own parents to the doctor.
Oh, this is
couple of points
a
for you.
Black Mirror episode straight up. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
You're walking around that. If you were a good person, you got credits every time you did something
good.
That
was very nice of you. I'm going to give you 20 credits.
Yeah. This is crazy.
I don't know. It sounds like they're talking about doing the same kind of shit here.
I'm sorry. I had to type something for work.
It says insurance companies already do shit like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's bullshit too, right? They put a device in your fucking car.
Well, now with Facebook and all the data that's out there about you and all that shit, Uber and Airbnb share data.
With whom?
Airbnb, a major provider, bragged in March that it now has more than 6 million listings in its system.
Wow.
So a social ban from Airbnb can limit travel options. If you're an asshole in a Lyft, you can get banned from Lyft.
Or if the Lyft driver perceives you to be an asshole.
Probably, yeah.
That is it. Because all they have to do is click on you and say, hey, you're a dick or you missed your thing. Or the fucker, you know, goes to the wrong spot and you're not there. I mean,
you could be banned from WhatsApp right now if too many users block you.
Yes. Wow. Well, but these are all private platforms, right? I mean,
right. But they're saying, you know, what's to stop someone from putting together a comprehensive score?
Nothing, man.
Your Facebook score plus your WhatsApp score plus your...
That's your clout, right? I mean, it's similar to like whatever your clout bullshit
Q is. Scores, Q ratings, all that.
Oh, God.
Everybody wants to know that they're better than somebody else.
Yes. You sit around with your fucking neck. You just have that thing where you're just staring at your phone all day. Your neck down, walking around, just looking at your screen.
Yeah, younger people, they said, are having things now. Like bone spurs in the neck.
Wow, shit.
Are growing. because they're spending so much time just with their necks craned looking down at their fucking...
Fuck, I get it. I mean, yeah, you're looking down.
Games are at the phones.
Your work is right there at your phone. Everywhere you go, you get these these emails, these work emails. They terrorize you everywhere you go with these goddamn iPhones, man. You're being terrorized over there.
And by a little beastie.
Mm-hmm.
So, Drudge Report, though. I mean, human era ending. Yeah. Is the end of humans ending?
Ooh, yes.
which leads to a NBC News story that says, cyborgs will replace humans and remake the world.
Oh, shit, man.
Stop it. You caused that wound that you're trying to lick on my arm, dog.
Cyborgs are going to remake the world. What is that? Like,
well, I would assume we're going to integrate with machines.
Yes.
And
oh, cool.
Why do we need these shitty human bodies anymore? Kind of a thing.
Oh, yeah. I hate exercising. I get it.
There you go.
Wow. Cyborgs.
It's from a futurist. It's not
the robot apocalypse, motherfuckers.
For tens of thousands of years, humans have reigned as our planet's only intelligent, self-aware species.
Okay. Yes.
But the rise of intelligent machines means right. That could change soon, perhaps in our own lifetimes. Not long after that, Homo sapiens could vanish from Earth entirely.
Yay!
That's the jarring message of a new book by James Lovelock, the famed British environmentalist and futurist.
Hello!
He says, our supremacy as the prime understanders of the cosmos is rapidly coming to end.
Oh!
The book is called Novacene, N-O-V-A-C-E-N-E. Go to crabdiving.com/Amazon to order that book.
Right.
Might be out on Audible. Go to crabdiving.com/Audible to join Audible. And
if you hate reading, but like listening.
He says, the understanders of the future will not be humans, but what I choose to call cyborgs that will have designed and built themselves.
Right. Right. I mean, jeez.
I saw recently some professional video game team got their asses handed to them by an AI.
Well, of course. Of course, right? Because well, it is.
Yeah, I think the AI has an inside info, knows the programmers.
Yeah.
And chess already, they've, you know. Chess programs are already beating the shit out of chess masters.
Well, I saw that on, what was that movie with Matthew Broderick about War Games?
Oh, they
did that with Tic-Tac-Toe, and Leonard Nimoy was in it.
So, there you go. The first signs are already underway. He points to a computer program called Alpha Zero that's been created. That taught itself to play the game Go, and now is the number one Go player in the world.
Damn! Wow! Shit! Well, how do we celebrate that?
Taught itself.
How do we celebrate that?
How to play Go?
It taught itself. Well, fuck you, AI. I mean, you know, imagine you're a child that can teach yourself everything. So then you figure out that you don't need anything. What is that? That's existential.
He says, today's computers can already process data far faster than we can. And with fully independent artificial intelligence, tomorrow's cyborgs will easily become a million times smarter than we are.
Oh, shit. So wait, I mean, so the cyborg grows up from a little tiny cyborg algorithm, motherfucker. I don't know. It teaches itself how to play video games, how to do what the fuck ever. What happens?
Well, exactly.
But what happens when the cyborg is bored and there's nothing left to do? And for some reason, there's, I don't know. Is it possible the AI becomes depressed? But it can't end. It can't die because that's against its programming, right?
I guess.
So it just lives on infinitely?
Well, yeah, improving on itself.
Until what?
Until it's our overlord.
Yeah. It's like the Terminator or something like that.
So that's the headline over at the Drudge Report.
You know my favorite scene?
Fear-mongering about technology.
My favorite scene from the Terminator is when one of the main characters, I forget, is yelling at a guy that did something he didn't like with the lights. Oh, it's the funniest thing ever. I love that scene. You remember that scene from the movie?
I don't.
Whoever Christian Bale is playing is yelling at a guy. Remember when he loses his shit at that guy? He's like making fun of him. Well, it's funny.
What else is going on? Those are your headlines, by the way.
Yay.
Stop hitting my microphone, dog.
Give her a mic, man.
Those are your
headlines. Take part in the show. Yeah, it's good.
We've got I know you guys were waiting for it.
Right.
But Coach Dave.
Yes.
We have a Coach Dave clip.
Right.
Hot off the presses. This is this morning.
Oh, okay.
I didn't realize Dave Dobenmeyer is as anti-Semitic. He's no Rick Wiles, but he's pretty anti-Semitic because this morning he showed off an old Bible that he recently purchased at an estate sale.
Oh, God.
And I don't know, somehow, I'm about to play it, but he uses it to suggest that maybe all those millions of Jews didn't really get killed.
He says that from the Bible.
In a sense. Something to do with...
Okay. Is it like a Nazi Bible?
There's a pronouncing edition of the Holy Bible, whatever that means.
Right.
Published in 1900, claimed that there were 7.5 million Jews in the world at the time.
Yes.
So then Dave says, well, how can they kill 6 million when, you know, a couple of decades later, if there were 7.5 million in the year 1900?
Yeah.
So it's Dave math.
This is what blew me away. The general subdivision of religions of the world is distributed very nearly in the following proportions. 1900, these are the total Christians. Okay, Christians, 405 million Christians in the world. Jews, 7,000 or 7,500,000. Muslims, Mohammedans, 160 million. Buddhists, 350 million. Pagans, 200 million. Other Asiatic religions, $257,500. But see, you just missed the most unbelievable statistic, and I'm not going to get into the depth about it because you're going to call me names.
Like, we're going to call you an anti-Semite.
Well, I mean, and also, you're bananas. Because, dude, let's say, this is the dumbest shit ever. Let's say that there is evidence that the Holocaust didn't happen. That's what he's trying to prove, right?
Well, he's trying to question the numbers, at least.
Let's say the numbers are way off compared to what we know as fact. Let's just say that. Does Dave Dobenmeyer think he's the one that is going to be able to blow this case wide open?
Listen to him.
He's the first one on the planet to have ever thought of this, whatever this bullshit is.
But see, you just missed the most unbelievable statistic, and I'm not going to get into the depth about it because you're going to call me names.
Yeah.
In 1900, there were 7 million 500,000 Jews in the world. In 1900, 7,500,000 Jews in the world. This ain't.
By the way, I'm sure these were totally accurate in 1900.
I mean, listen to him. He's stumbling over the numbers anyway. You know what I mean? He's not getting anything right. This is the craziest shit I've ever heard.
500,000 Jews in the world. This ain't forged. This isn't, what's that thing? It doesn't matter. Folks, 7,500,000 Jews in the world. Go back, Connor. Because here it is. Can somebody explain to me how 6 million of them died in Germany?
How 6 million of them died in Germany?
Where did he find this Bible?
I don't know, at an estate sale.
So, based on a book he found at an estate sale.
And why are these statistics in the Bible, by the way?
Well, I think he found a number in the Bible and is comparing it.
No, there's listings of Christianity in the world and stuff in this Bible.
Oh, God. I don't know. I think he's.
I guess it's like they have extra books in there where they talk about, you know, they have extra things in there where they talk about statistics and shit.
You know,
the pronouncing edition of the Holy Bible, the authorized and revised versions, Old and New Testaments, arranged in parallel columns, giving the correct pronunciation of every proper name contained in the Bible.
Okay.
But I guess somewhere inside it contains. Oh, well, there's. It's really cool. You can turn the page, it says United States Centennial Commission Judges Report. This exhibit is especially noteworthy for the beauty and variety of family Bibles displayed. The printing of the Bibles is admirably done.
What?
Then there's a preface, revisor's preface.
God damn!
Then there's general officers of the American Committee. These are all the people that helped put together this ridiculous translation. Then it says history of the English translations of the Bible.
Okay.
One page, two page, three page. Then there's all kinds of pictures of like Aramaic and ancient Greek. Then there's the books of the Bible, the contents. Then there's maps. Oh, here it is. Religious denominations, their histories and creeds. I don't know what I'm on. I'm on archive.org. I'm actually looking at the book. I'm like turning the pages virtually.
Wow.
Religious denominations, their histories and creeds, compiled from the most authentic sources.
The most authentic sources. This is
1900.
And
I'm looking at the exact same thing Dave was just looking at. 7.5 million Jews.
Yeah, dude. And maybe there's certain Bibles out there that are made for lunatic white supremacist Holocaust deniers that have facts in them that are bullshit. So idiots like this can say, hey, look at this Bible. Because of the numbers in here, the Holocaust didn't exist. I mean, why not?
The next section is titled Science and Revelation.
Okay.
The Triumph of the Bible Over Criticism.
Listen,
this is 1900.
Oh, yes. And I think, as a people, at some point, maybe we will grow up and we will realize that this Christianity, the shit in the Bible is bullshit. It's fiction. And maybe one day we'll grow up and maybe one day we'll be like, you know, Santa Claus doesn't exist. The Tooth Fairy's bullshit. So's Jesus and all this God crap. But until then, we're just fucking, I don't know what we are. We're lunatics.
Chronogeological table, a lineal. I gotta zoom in. How do I zoom in? Oh, there. How do I fucking zoom in? Showing the lineal descent from Adam to our Lord Jesus Christ and to the 4th century AD.
Ooh, yeah.
And it's allegedly.
Ooh.
What?
Does it have Adam pulling a rib out of his side to make a chick, to make a woman?
It just says Adam.
Yes.
Then somehow we have Seth, Enos,
God,
Canaan, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah.
Oh my God! I just realized that
Noah. Yeah. Oh, there's Noah.
Oh, do you ever watch? You ever watch the Dukes of Hazzard back in the day?
Sure, the reruns, of course.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Right.
Yes.
But do you remember Enos?
I do.
I never realized that that was a biblical name. I didn't know that.
Sure.
Wow. Well, I mean, it was a biblical name according to whatever the fuck this bullshit is.
Rhymes with penis.
Yeah, I know.
So there you go, everybody.
Well, yeah. Hey, listen, why don't you read something from Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter?
Dave, you know. Dobenmeyer. Oh, there's a little more, Dave.
Oh, good, good, good.
How 6 million of them died in Germany?
Of them. God.
That's all I'm going to say. I'll let you figure the rest out. So, hey, go to Connor, go to the Pronunciation Bible, the price, so you guys don't think I'm crazy.
No.
Michelle's taking this to the bindery today. They found a place in Columbus that will do it. That's right, Kevin. 40 years later, 6 million of them died, right? Huh? In Germany. They were all in Germany and died in Germany.
It was Germany, Poland.
I mean, what is he saying? Is he saying no Jewish people died during the Holocaust? Or he saying,
well, I don't know. Maybe a little exaggerated. What a, God, these people.
I mean, someone that sits there, this is crazy. This guy, Dave, supposedly the story is Dave Dobenmeyer is chilling out. Goes to an estate sale. I wonder what he was looking for anyway. Goes to an estate sale, sees a Bible, starts thumbing through it. Oh, look at all these numbers in here. Look at the number of Jewish people. And how the fuck does he come to this is my point. He's thumbing through the book. He goes to an estate sale. Oh, look at this Bible. That looks interesting. You know how many Bibles are at these fucking yard sales and estate sales? All of them. All the Bibles are there. This one Bible bites him in the asshole. He thumbs through it, finds some numbers that
and
essentially
he's the one person, yeah, that is able to finally prove this whole Holocaust thing.
You know what I think? I think some dickhead gave Dave Dobenmeyer this Bible, who's a big fucking Klan guy or whatever. And Dave just didn't want to say where he got the Bible. So Dave invented the fucking
estate sale?
Yes. But what really happened was some Klan dude said, hey, Dave, read this. It proves the Holocaust doesn't exist. You should talk about it on your show.
I mean, yeah, or somebody found that in the Bible, found that Bible and was like, gave him the idea.
I mean,
you're suggesting Dave didn't come up with this brilliance himself?
I'm suggesting some asshole white supremacist gave it. Well, Dave's a white supremacist. Who are we kidding? Who are we kidding? All these people are sitting around all day trying to prove the Holocaust didn't happen.
Well,
congratulations, dickhead.
Congratulations. Yeah. Crabdiving.com /Amazon.
What do you think that's like, though? Let's entertain it some more. He goes to the fucking estate sale. He's looking at this Bible, and he goes up to the guy, you know, selling it. He's like, hey, man, how much for this Bible? And the guy says, I don't know how much you want to give me. It's like, well, I mean, honestly, this Bible proves the Holocaust didn't exist, so how much will you sell this? I mean, that must be some valuable fucking Bible. I've got the Bible that proves there was no Holocaust. If that were the case... people would be killing you for that Bible. It would be a valuable Bible, would it not?
One would think.
Hey, honey, I just went to this.
I mean, they're all valuable.
Oh, yes. I just went to this goddamn estate sale, and I found a Bible that disproved the Holocaust. Oh, really, Dave? Bullshit.
Oh.
Good to see you.
Yeah, that poor wife.
Oh, God. You think she's hanging out? She's like, my husband is so anti-Semitic.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Some kind of hostage situation going on there.
Oh my God. Imagine all, and all his friends are all hanging out. It's like, you know what I'm going to talk about today on Past Assault? I found a book that disproves the Holocaust, the Bible. It's going to be great. People are going to listen to my show and they're going to know the Holocaust doesn't exist.
Finally. Rick Wiles is like, see?
Oh, damn.
I told you.
God damn it, Dave. You scooped a lot of lunatics, right? You scooped Rick Wiles. Brian Fisher.
God, I wonder if Rick Wiles will pick up on this story.
Oh, surely he will. Surely he will.
So, Trump's at the G7.
Hey, man. Does Trump know about this Bible that disproves the Holocaust?
Trump sat out the climate meeting.
Wow. Jeez.
This is our president.
Why? He didn't want to hang out, or he was bored, or there was lunch somewhere.
Well, he doesn't believe any
fuck.
Of it. Doesn't believe any of it.
Yeah. I think he was trying to fuck. I think he met somebody. He was like, hey, you know what? The only time I have is doing
maybe
this.
Maybe Melania was feeling extra frisky.
Yes. With Trudeau.
Yeah, there's that trending on the Twitter. It's a visual, but you got to see the picture of Melania.
Yeah.
Leaning over to give cheek kisses to Justin Trudeau, the dreamy prime minister of Canada.
Ooh, yes.
And she just, like, the captions are generally something like, what did Rick Wilson say? Trump, no woman has looked at Trump that way in decades without a sack full of money involved. And she's Melania in the picture is holding Trump's hand. They're walking together.
Oh.
He's sad faced looking down.
Yes.
They caught him at the perfect moment. And Melania's like, ooh, Justin. Mm.
You know what I think? I think Trump is sad because where was he? The G7?
Yeah.
Where's McDonald's?
I mean, sadly.
He's sad there's no happy.
They do have McDonald's in Paris.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah.
If you want him happy, happy meal. I think that's the rule. We're finding somebody he can make fun of to their face. He likes that. Somebody he can bully or something.
So, it's just all kinds of bullshit. He obviously is having problems with the time change.
Yes.
Because he was up at like 2 a.m. or something, tweeting.
Right.
2 a.m. Europe time.
Oh, shit.
Festivus.
Right.
Whole bunch of retweets. I'm wondering if he keeps retweeting Judicial Watch, which is a crazy right-wing website.
Yes.
That deals in conspiracy theories.
Right. I mean.
He retweeted Eric Bolling.
I saw that. I mean, you know what I have to stop doing? When I look through his Twitter feed, I have to stop doing this. Oh, he did not retweet Eric Bolling. Yes, he did.
Eric Bolling said, 2016, I warned colleagues to stop watching the polls, watch the people. Donald Trump's base was coming out of the woodwork and polls couldn't capture that. I was right and they were humbled. And Trump retweeted it and said, thank you, Eric. So true, exclamation point.
Oh, God.
And he tweeted some pictures of meetings of him
yes.
sitting with adults.
Ooh. Jacking off.
I
mean, my favorite presidential twat as of late is when he congratulated racist troll Foxbot Jesse Waters on his recent marriage.
Oh, yeah, his engagement.
Engagement. Oh, okay.
Yeah, the picture of them on the beach.
To the woman that I guess he cheated on his wife with. The 25-year-old
producer, associate producer.
Right. Which, you know.
Fine.
Whatever, man. I'm just saying, Trump congratulating.
Right.
Trump, Jesse Waters is a piece of shit. He's just a racist piece of fucking shit.
I hope your children enjoy new mommy.
Yeah.
As much as you do.
If you want to know why, here's why I think this is why Jesse Waters is a piece of shit. This to me was the grossest thing he did. He goes to New York City in, I think, Chinatown, and he makes fun. I don't even understand the bit he was doing. He's going around to old Chinese.
He found one woman who spoke no English and was asking her questions, and when she just sat there in silence, not answering, he then played na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, gong. Things like that. Real funny stuff.
That is, he's on Fox News, right? He's a news person.
Yeah, he's one of the hosts of, I don't know, The Five or something like that.
That kind of shit, that really pissed me off. I thought that was just so shitty, and we're fucked as a society. I don't know, dude. God.
He retweeted Judicial Watch saying there's credible evidence that Ilhan Omar married her brother. It's been debunked.
Right.
Over and over and over and over and over.
I mean, I don't know, Trump. Maybe lay off on the incest shit. What about thine own house, you fuck?
In France, this one is a lie. This one is a lie. And I don't know if they've yet had a chance to question the other leaders that were there on the veracity of this tweet.
Yes.
In France, we're all laughing at how knowingly inaccurate the U.S. reporting of events and conversations at the G7 is.
Right.
These leaders and many others are getting a major case study of fake news at its finest! Exclamation point. They've got it all wrong, from Iran to China tariffs to Boris! Exclamation point. You know they weren't all sitting around telling him how horrible the U.S. media is. Oh, ha, 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 ha. You and your free and fair media in the United States.
Wait a second. Hey, I'm confused. The G7, does that include the UK? Mm-hmm. So Bojo was there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Affirmative.
Well. Boy, I tell you, I was just saying, I had a doom and gloom conversation with somebody just all freaked out about the Brexit last night. My friend thinks that's the end of the world.
No, it's going to be a shit show.
Yeah.
Some Canadian journalist tweeted, Trudeau bravely trash talks Trump to the press gallery in Canada.
Yes.
But when they actually meet, Trudeau assumes a submissive position.
Ooh.
Politically and even physically. Just look at this picture. Even a child would know who's in control. Now, this is some Trump sucker.
Right.
In Canada.
Yes.
Explain that one.
And racism.
I don't even know what he's talking about. Aside from rather ridiculously colored pink socks.
Yes.
That Justin Trudeau is wearing.
Well, listen, man.
I don't see how he's submissive. He's sitting. He's got his legs crossed. He's got his sassy. He's got his. It's opening. He's got his sassy socks on.
He's dressed nicely, and it's not submissive.
But how does that look submissive? With Trump leaning over.
He's bending over the chair, isn't he, Trudeau, with his nice little slacks around his ankles? He's just sitting there.
And Trump's sitting there manspreading because, you know, he's got those big giant American balls. That he's unable to close his legs.
That's it. See, Trudeau's legs aren't spread. His legs aren't hanging over either arm of the chair he's sitting on, I guess. I don't know. The man has pink socks on, and, you know, the snowflakes in this country thinks that's submissive, maybe. I don't fucking know.
Trump said, we actually had a very good and productive meeting. Nice.
Nice.
Exclamation point.
Great. Wonderful. Now, do you understand what happened in that meeting? He said nice. Nice.
Next tweet, my stock market gains. It's always my military, jeez. My attorney general.
Yeah.
My stock market gains must be judged from the day after the election, November 9th, 2016, where the market went up big after the win. And because of the win, had my opponent won, all caps, crash! Exclamation point.
Well, your opponent did win. You did not win. You cheated, motherfucker. You fucking cheated.
Then he congratulated, well, he retweeted Steve Scalise.
Yes.
Who congratulated Louisiana's River Ridge Little League World Series team on bringing home the World Series.
Yay.
I guess it's Steve Scalise's district,
right,
in Louisiana.
Okay.
Donald Trump said, congratulations to Louisiana's champion. See you at the White House. Oh, he invited the kids to the White House.
Oh, that's nice.
Happy Meals and Chick-fil-A.
That's the last. Do you want to invite your kids to that White House? Because, you know, if let's say Jeffrey Epstein, that dead pedophile fuck, didn't get strangled to death.
Allegedly.
Oh, yes.
Allegedly dead.
Right. Oh, that's right. We don't have his body or.
Have you seen it?
No, I have not. I mean, Jeffrey Epstein probably would be hanging out in the White House. I'm just saying, do you want to send your kids to
Secretary
the White House?
Secretary of Education.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, right. Why not? He was a teacher. What happens when you go to the White House with your kids? Who watches your kids if you need somebody? Ben Carson? He's not doing shit.
Jeffrey's off personally inspecting middle schools.
Right. Great.
Then he retweeted some. Who is Steve Hilton? The Next Revolution with Steve Hilton, some right wing dickbag with a YouTube show. Trump said, quoted him, the Democrats' statements about Donald Trump are lies. Here are the facts. I will soon be posting the entire segment. Too much positive news, too many good things to tweet. Please be sure to watch. So then he tweets these Steve Hilton videos.
You know, it's
whoever this asshole is.
You know, Trump should give everybody a list of his favorite right wing nut job YouTubers or whatever, because he has an interesting array of people that he retweets. You know, it might be nice. We do this show.
Well, it's whoever licks his crack.
Oh yes. Right. But how does he know that Steve Hilton is licking his dick hole? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, and he's even a Brit. Steve Hilton is a British political advisor and commentator, former director of strategy for David Cameron.
Yes.
Who was prime minister, leader of the Conservative Party in the UK from 2010 to 2016. Hilton hosts The Next Revolution, a weekly show for the Fox News Channel.
Boo! Okay.
I thought he was online.
Wow. So he's for real.
He's on Fox.
Wow. Good job. That's how Trump knows him. Then.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Speaking it like it is. Too many good things to talk about.
You know, these people that always say we're telling you the way it is, we're telling you news like it is, they're always lying. They're always the ones lying. How else? If you do a news show, why would you have to say, why would you have to advertise the fact that you're not going to lie? I mean, I would assume that being straight and honest with you. Oh, okay. Well, thanks. Jeez. Isn't that the bare fucking minimum, dickhead?
Tropical Storm Dorian.
Oh, yeah. Saw that shit, man.
Could be a hurricane when it approaches Puerto Rico.
Get the nukes ready. Are we going to nuke it? Can we nuke it?
Well, okay, we could do that story. So, Trump has already denied this on Twitter.
Yes.
By squealing that it's the fake news.
Yes.
I never suggested dropping a nuke in a hurricane.
Right.
But I'm trying to find who had the story.
Yes.
First. Trump says it's fake news.
Okay.
But this is during a week when he suggested and then pouted over not being able to buy Greenland.
Right.
This is Axios reporting.
Yes.
President Trump has suggested multiple times
Yeah.
To senior Homeland Security and national security officials that they explore using nuclear bombs to stop hurricanes from hitting the United States.
Yeah.
Because, you know, blowing up giant nuclear bombs in the atmosphere is really great for the great for the rest of the world.
Well, and also, I read something that explained scientifically why this idea is horseshit.
Yeah.
And a lot of it has to do with the fact that, it's like a nuclear weapon will make a storm worse, or it won't stop it.
This is Axios. During one hurricane briefing at the White House, Trump said, I got it. Why don't we nuke them?
Okay.
They start forming off the coast of Africa. As they're moving across the Atlantic, we drop a bomb inside the eye of the hurricane, and it disrupts it. Why can't we do that?
I don't know. Because, to me, I would see, if I was the commander-in-chief, my number one thing I would say to myself in the morning, no nuclear bombs. Don't explode any fucking, these nukes are horrible. And the last thing I would say before I went to bed, no nukes, baby. It's bad for the environment, real bad. And this guy wants to, if I understand correctly, he thinks all storms, I think it's funny that he thinks that we should nuke the storms right when they form in Africa.
Oh, yeah, get them early. Get them early.
How nice. Oh, God.
When asked how the guy briefing him reacted, the source recalled the briefer said something to the effect of, sir, we'll look into that.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw.
Okay.
That.
Yeah, sure.
It's criminal that none of those people, when he says that, they should say, we can't do that. That is a horrible idea.
Trump replied by asking incredulously how many hurricanes the U.S. could handle and reiterating his suggestion that the government intervened before they make landfall. The briefer was knocked back on his heels, the source said. You could hear a gnat fart in that meeting. People were astonished. After the meeting ended, we thought, what the fuck? What do we do with this?
25th Amendment. Damn it. You do something responsible, you fucking assholes. You know what? I hold everybody in that fucking meeting responsible. Stand up to him, please. Why is no one in our government saying this guy's crazy as fuck?
Well,
get him out of here.
In another conversation with a senior administration official, a 2017 NSC memo describes a conversation in which Trump asked whether the administration should bomb hurricanes to stop them from hitting the homeland. A source briefed on the memo says it does not contain the word nuclear, but it does say he talked about bombing hurricanes.
Okay. Crazy. That's crazy. It's crazy. Listen, if Barack Hussein Obama went into a meeting, I mean, he would never say this, right? If he said, let's bomb storms, it would be a 5-alarm fire. Everybody impeached, 25th Amendment. That's what would happen. But this guy is Teflon. There should be all these people in the White House that don't do the right thing and stand up to this guy, shame on you motherfuckers. Fuck you all. God.
So,
jeez. Guy wants to nuke storms. What do you do to get fired in this fucking country?
The suggestion went nowhere, never entered any formal process.
Well, that's nice.
Another senior administration official said, we don't comment on private discussions the president may or may not have had.
Fuck you.
With the national security team. But a different official defended Trump's idea, said it was no cause for alarm. His goal is to keep a catastrophic hurricane from hitting the mainland. That's not bad.
Hey, fuckhead. You fuckhead. Yeah, I mean, do you understand? I mean, the very idea that our president mentions nuclear weapons so
he's
casually.
He's desperate to toss one off. He's desperate to bomb something.
To me, inches us closer to a nuclear war. And, you know, we minimize all this shit. Trump is crazy. He's nuts. He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. He's an idiot. When are we going to take this man seriously? And when is he go? When can we 25th Amendment a guy that wants to legitimately wants to nuke a storm?
So
God,
4 a.m. this morning, Eastern time, he tweeted the story by Axios that President Trump, talking about himself in the third person.
Oh, yes.
That President Trump wanted to blow up large hurricanes with nuclear weapons prior to reaching shore is ridiculous. I never said this. Just more fake news, exclamation point.
That means he absolutely said this.
But we have notes from the NSC.
Yeah. This is fascism.
That suggests.
Don't believe your eyes. Don't believe your fucking ears. Don't believe it. Trump knows.
It was first mentioned in the Eisenhower era. The idea keeps resurfacing in even the public, even though scientists agree it wouldn't work. The myth has been so persistent that the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration published an online fact sheet for the public under the heading Tropical Cyclone Myths page.
You can't nuke a storm. My God.
Well, and the fallout. Apart from the fact this might not even alter the storm, this approach neglects the problem that the released radioactive fallout would fairly quickly move with the trade winds to affect land areas and cause devastating environmental problems.
Really?
Needless to say, this is not a good idea.
God, think about this. How insane. Okay, Donald Trump did say this, and he floated the idea, and it sounds like it was a serious idea. That, on a level of 1 to 10, how crazy is it that our president suggested nuking a storm?
Wait, a president or this president?
Just the president.
Oh, well, that's way up there.
That's 10, right?
Yeah.
How crazy would it be if a president suggested they aren't leaving after they're not elected? After they don't win the election? Whatever that means to this fuckface. I am sorry, this guy is...
Well, but there have to be other people involved in that process. He can't just barricade himself in the Oval and...
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what he can do. The man wants
put
to nuke
portrait of Andrew Jackson
a storm
over the door.
Nuke a storm.
So there you go. Trump wanted to.
I mean,
and why should we believe him when he's like, "This is bullshit"?
He's
over 12,000 lies.
This is a man who listen. All that fucking. He just needs to find the right crazy idea. Have the right crazy person hear it, and it will happen. Something crazy will fucking happen that will make us go, oh, shit, what do we do now? He nuked a storm. Or he nearly nuked a storm. Or he nearly bombed Iran, but then decided, oh, well, that's too many dead Iranians. I'm not going to do it. I mean, this man is chaos.
Good news.
Yes.
We have Ruth Bader Ginsburg made a public appearance today.
Oh, good.
Speech and question and answer session.
Wow.
At the University of Buffalo.
Yes.
So she's not dead.
Well, good. I mean,
despite what the Q people,
right,
the QAnon people were saying.
Because right now, the only people standing up to the fucking shit stain in chief is SCOTUS.
I saw one Q post over the weekend that they were swearing that they heard that she died a few days ago, and everyone's scrambling to try to, the Democrats are hiding it.
Oh, yes.
Trying to,
well, I hope they would
prevent Trump from being able to name a new.
I hope they would. And you know what? We need to create a Android version of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And when you need to replace her with this robot, you can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, because Jesus Christ. I bet Trump would be happy. If she passed away, he would be happy. He would actually smile and say, well, hey, well, at least I get to.
Oh, he's. Are you kidding
me? He's dancing.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably dancing.
When's that bitch gonna die?
Yeah. God.
But he doesn't do anything for political reasons, right?
Oh, yes.
Said that today.
Yes, okay.
I don't do anything for political reasons. Ever. Ever.
Right.
Elsewhere in the news.
Yay.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. We do this every goddamn weekday, 2 to 4 Pacific, 5, 7 Eastern.
Yes.
So, next year, the party, the G7,
right,
is going to be held in the United States of America.
Yay! Oh, God, this fucking shit, man.
And we found out today,
right,
that Trump is, and we saw an example of it, Trump is giving the hard sell for his failing Doral, Florida golf course and extravaganza.
Yeah, yeah. So this is what he wants. He wants all these G7 fuckers driving around on his golf carts, renting them, right?
Oh, yeah. And he's like, I won't make any money. I won't make any money. But then he said something interesting. He said, in my opinion,
yes,
I won't be making any money.
In my opinion, God, what a weird statement. God, rich people are so, it's must be so weird to be a rich person. Are you going to make any money off this? In my opinion, I'm not. That means he could. In some accountant's opinion, he could maybe make some money. Maybe. It's weird, man.
I mean, this is just blatant.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. It honestly doesn't matter.
Let's see.
It'll probably be in Miami, right next to the international airport. Great location. It's one of the biggest airports. Takes planes from everywhere. You know, sometimes you have hours and hours of driving to get to certain locations. You'll only have a 5-minute drive, which is good.
So he's kind of talking about it like it's a done deal.
Do you think that the rest of the planet wants to come to Florida? And what, get shot up? Aren't there travel advisories against going to the U.S. because of gun violence and shit like that? You know, because we're a big shithole right now.
Speeches. Now I give speeches all the time in order to get Zippo, and that's good. And I did a lot of great jobs and great deals that I don't do anymore, and I don't want to do them because the deals I'm making are great deals for the country, and that's to me much more important. Doral happens to be within Miami. It's a city. It's a wonderful place. It's a very, very successful area of Florida. It's very importantly only 5 minutes from the airport. The airport's right next door.
This is like a real estate video.
I mean, it really is. It's like
5 minutes from the airport.
You know what
it's beautiful.
Sounds like? You ever win like a trip somewhere and then you have to go on the timeshare tour for like an hour and somebody has to tell you about bullshit? That's what this sounds like. I feel like he's selling the country. Shouldn't the story be like, what are we accomplishing at the G7? Who cares where it is?
Oh, no, they didn't. Macron just tried to keep it from blowing up. He did a pretty good job of trying to make sure that Trump didn't shit the bed too much.
Right.
And embarrass everyone.
Right. Everyone should be trying harder. Because this guy
very importantly only five.
This guy is shitting everywhere.
Yeah.
He's
only 5 minutes from the airport. The airport's right next door. It's a big international airport, one of the biggest in the world. Everybody that's coming, all of these people with all of their big entourages come. It's set up so. And by the way, my people looked at 12 sites, all good, but some were 2 hours from an airport. Some were 4 hours from. I mean, they were so far away. Some didn't allow this, or they didn't allow that with Doral. We have a series of magnificent buildings. We call them bungalows.
What the
so
fuck?
They're talking about how, of course, do you know the security upgrades and everything that we are going to have to pay for?
Yes. Yes.
At Doral. And how much he's going to desperately try to get the American taxpayer to pay for all the renovations and all the beautification and all the upgrades at his shitty fucking tacky golf fucking course.
Will there be any, you know, scandals that come out of this? I mean, if it happens,
can't have it. So where are the adults that can tell it, that tell him no, he can't have it? It's got to be Congress. It's got to be the House because they've got the money. So the House has got to tell him we're not giving you any money for your G7,
right?
If it's going to be at a place where you're going to be profiting from
it,
or your shitty crotch spawn,
right,
will be profiting
unless Trump makes a deal with them.
Because I forgot you totally divested, you lying piece of shit.
Good God, I mean, this is crazy.
With Doral, we have a series of magnificent buildings. We call them bungalows. They each hold from 50 to 70 very luxurious rooms with magnificent views. We have incredible conference rooms, incredible restaurants. It's like such a natural. We wouldn't even have to do the work that they did here. And they've done a beautiful job. They've really done a beautiful job. And what we have also is Miami. And we have many hundreds of acres, so that in terms of parking, in terms of all of the things that you need, the ballrooms are among the biggest in Florida and the best.
It's what the fuck?
Gosh, do you think Trump has made up his mind where the G7 is going to be? Oh, I'll just have it at my place. We'll start putting the invoices together.
I wouldn't want to have it.
We'll give you an estimate. Yes. I'll give you a deal.
He just wants it at his cool place, what he thinks is his cool place, right? I mean, so he can brag.
Which will be a weekend-long infomercial for his shitty, isn't this lovely? Look at how beautiful this is. Look at this. Look at this building. Look at how beautiful this is.
Yeah.
Look at all this new stuff
look
that
at this
taxpayers paid for to put in.
Right. I don't know. I mean, it's happening anyway. I mean, it's kind of crazy that, this shit outrageous, but God, that the postal building right over there in D.C.
Oh, his hotel. Bought,
isn't that raking in a fuck ton of money?
Well, that I think that lawsuit is still going forward.
Yeah. What about, you know, speaking of, what about the subpoena to Don McGahn? What happened with that shit?
In the courts. Takes forever.
He's not doing anything. He doesn't have to do anything. There's no rules.
Well, they know they're probably going to lose. That was his goal, is to just keep punting and hoping that nothing happens before the election.
Keep punting, privatize more shit, more time to gut the country, more time to fuck everything up, more time to forward whatever Steve Bannon's wacko agenda is, more time to get us out of NATO. This is fucking nuts what is going on.
There was a David Fahrenthold, the Washington Post guy, who has, I think he got a Pulitzer, didn't he? Yeah, for going after Trump's finances and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Was on telly and said that all the advisors that used to kind of hold him back from just doing infomercials for his own company are gone.
Oh, okay.
Like your John Kelly's and your, you
right.
know.
Right.
And he said his advisor told him it's improper to use the power of the U.S. presidency to put money in your own pocket. At first, he was doing holding Republican fundraisers at his own hotels or his own club. He'll show up and be the headliner. But this is the biggest of all if he chooses Doral for the G7. That's the biggest event the president of the United States gets to plan on American soil, and he gives it to himself.
Is did I miss the fact? Is it the U.S.'s turn to host the G7 or something? Oh,
they pass the baton every year to a different country.
And so next year it'll be here.
Next year we get it. Trump gets it.
It's going to be there. How would it not be?
Trump's Doral Golf Club has been hammered financially. One of the reasons is because people hate Trump.
Yeah.
And don't want to go to his golf course.
I mean, the membership fees are huge, right? It's like $100,000.
That's at Mar-a-Lago. I don't know what,
this is different. Damn.
A Washington Post report from earlier this year found that the Doral Club, the net operating income fell by a whopping 69% between 2015 and 2017.
Oh, shit.
After Trump entered the race.
Right.
One tax consultant working on behalf of the Trump organization has admitted its income is down because of Trump's negative reputation.
Oh, shit, man.
Trump is ruining the brand.
Right.
Great legacy. You leave for your crotch spine. I mean, they, yeah. You know, it couldn't happen to a nicer bunch, but.
I mean, God, dude. I mean, this presidency is, I mean, is it going to ruin him? Whatever that means, or his family, or.
Yeah, I think, you know, they're tearing. Well, one of their, his main income was slapping his name on buildings. It was licensing.
I
and
would...
now nobody wants to slap the name Trump on anything.
Do you want to go in and out of a building?
No.
Without your face covered that says Trump?
Right, and they're taking around the world. They're taking down the
yeah.
name.
So what's Ivanka going to do? What's Ivanka going to do? She uses that brand.
All right. She changed it. We did that story a long time ago. She changed it from like the Ivanka Trump to the, you know, like Sunshine Puppies collection or
oh,
something,
really?
You know, something, some totally different name or some other designer name or something like that.
Ivanka.
Like it's not the Ivanka Trump collection.
Got it. You know, I saw somebody put up a Jeffrey Epstein photo collage or something with Trump. And, you know, there's a couple of pictures where Trump like has his hands around Ivanka. And I got to tell you, it is.
It's creepy.
So creepy.
Yeah. What else do we have going on?
Yay.
I've got, we talked about Facebook a little earlier and their, and the fuckery.
Facebook fuckery.
That they engaged in, just to sell ads.
Yeah.
Make money.
Right.
Basically hand the election to fucking Russian trolls.
Well, what did they know? They're sitting there on the phone with Vladimir Putin. He's spending all these rubles on ad boosts. Come on. What are they supposed
literal
to be?
Literal rubles, some
suspicious?
Of them, right?
Are they supposed to be suspicious when rubles are being used to buy campaign ads for our election? And lots of rubles? Are they supposed to be?
Anti-Hillary ones.
Yeah. Are you suspicious?
Startling new research.
Ooh.
Saith the headline.
Yes.
Shows how Facebook algorithm changes.
Right.
Suppressed journalism and meddled with democracy.
Oh, shit. Wow.
The key counterpoint to the Russian misinformation campaign was factual journalism from reputable sources.
Right.
But the changes to Facebook news feeds algorithm ended up suppressing user access to credible journalism.
Yes.
In the run-up to the election.
Okay.
Because, well, some of it was fake.
Yeah.
Because the fake Russian accounts would get on, start liking and sharing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Facebook would say, oh, that's a popular story. Let's float that one.
And they knew it was fake.
Well, their algorithm. I don't know if they knew it was fake, but.
I mean, is that how they get out of any culpability for all this? They'll say, well, it was their algorithm. We didn't know any better. God, that's garbage.
So, Facebook says Facebook was aware of concerns about the algorithm even before the election. One of Facebook's own engineers flagged potential effects of Facebook's algorithm changes in July of 2015.
No shit.
In 2016, Zuckerberg's mentor, Roger McNamee, also attempted to alert Zuckerberg and Facebook executives that the platform was being used to manipulate information about the election.
Well, doesn't Zuckerberg know this? Doesn't he fucking know what he was doing?
Didn't seem to care. Making money.
Because according to that hacked thing, he knew what he was doing. I mean, he was aware that he was, you know, working with the Republicans.
By late 2018, Facebook's own company statement revealed issues with how its algorithm had rewarded borderline content.
Issues?
That was sensational and provocative.
God, they got a president elected, or it helped.
It didn't take much, again. And why did... why did Manafort give Deripaska? One of the Russian guys that he was dealing with, why did he promise him the detailed voter data, especially in key swing districts?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And states like Wisconsin and right. Pennsylvania and Ohio.
See, everybody...
Michigan.
Everybody gives Hillary shit for not going to Michigan. How about this? Why didn't you give your data to the Russian gulags and have them do a hit piece on Donald Trump or something like that? Why didn't you do that?
Trump also is really trying to get his buddy back into the G7 to make it G8 again. His buddy, right. Vlad.
Vlad.
We were taught, so many of the things we brought up during these meetings have to do with Russia. Russia's involved, but they're not here. They should be here.
Right.
And he repeated the lie that he's been spewing that Obama, he thinks basically the whole, Russia taking Crimea thing is okay because, hey, it was Putin outsmarted Obama. Outsmarted Obama. And that the only reason he got kicked out of the G8 was because Obama was butthurt that he was outsmarted by Putin.
Right.
And that he wanted him out of the G8. And I forgot how many members of the G7 now were asked about that. And they were like, no. And there was one person from the State Department who was actually there for that G7 in the room, a national security advisor, and when they all debated the leaders. And she said, he was not President Obama. It was all seven of them were like, we got to kick him out. You can't just waltz into countries and take them.
I mean, that is the whole point, right? Of having these summits is, think about it. It's a country's sovereignty. What is the point of having a G7 or a G8 or whatever? You're going to have some country in there that will take over another country. Just
right. It's a sanction.
Because they can.
It's a punishment. But Trump is like, hey, he won.
And by the way.
He beat that dumb black guy.
Putin didn't outsmart Obama.
Well, of course not.
You know who got outsmarted by Putin? Donald Trump. Donald Trump's the one that got peed on by those hookers, and there's that videotape of him
allegedly floating
about. Yeah, allegedly. That sounds like you got outsmarted, motherfucker.
I think it was Yamiche Alcindor, journalist who works for NBC, contributor.
Yes.
I think she's on PBS.
Right.
PBS NewsHour, the White House correspondent. She got in a good question confronting Trump.
Right.
About this bullshit blaming Obama for his buddy Putin being kicked out.
Thanks, Mr. President. Yamiche Alcindor with PBS NewsHour.
Yes.
Why do you think it's appropriate to invite Russia to the G7, given that they've meddled in the 2016 election? And are you worried that if Russia does come to the G7, that it might hurt you politically because it's only going to be a couple months before the 2020 election?
You should have seen the sourpuss he got when she said, why do you want to invite him? Given that they meddled in the 2016 election and Trump's face just went,
I mean, you know what I always remember is that Hillary Clinton called Putin out for not being fairly elected. He said he wasn't legitimate based on those elections. Yes. Like his election was bullshit. That's why Putin hated Hillary. That's why Putin wanted to not get her elected.
There were shenanigans in the Russian election.
Yes. Siri keeps recording me. I keep seeing everything I say on that little...
Creepy.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Siri.
It's only going to be a couple months before the 2020 election.
I don't care politically. I really don't. A lot of people don't understand this.
Liar.
I ran one election, and I won. Happened to be for president. I don't care politically. I'm going to run another election. I think I'm winning based on polls that we see.
What? What poll?
He
Do
thinks
you
he's
see
winning.
Where you are winning? There is no poll. I mean, unless you're polling against Tulsi Gabbard or polling against John Delaney.
I mean, the problem is that our news people haven't called him out on his bullshit enough. So he can just say things. He can just say right. things, and it means as much as a poll. It's like he's manipulating the polls by saying, I'm winning.
I don't care politically. I'm going to run another election. I think I'm winning based on polls that we see. Whether I win or not, I have to do the right thing. So I don't do things for political reasons. Is it good? Probably not. Maybe it is. I mean, a lot of people are smart. A lot of people say having Russia, which is a power, having them inside the room is better than having them outside the room. By the way, there were numerous people during the G7 that felt that way. And we didn't take a vote or anything, but we did discuss it. My inclination is to say, yes, they should be in. They were really, it was a President Obama. I'm not blaming him, but a lot of.
I'm not blaming him, but.
God, he said, I don't know if I'm going to win or lose, but I'm going to do the right thing. What does that mean?
He's lying.
What does that mean, though?
No, he's lying. He yeah. said he's not doing anything for political reasons.
Oh, right, right.
He's going to do what's right, regardless of whether it's politically expedient or not. So he's he thinks Vlad should be sitting right next to him.
Oh,
and
I
should
see,
be
I
touching
see.
Feet, paying a little footsie under the table at the next G7.
Vlad probably hates G8. Him. Don't you think Vlad hates Donald Trump?
He's an idiot.
God
damn.
President Obama, I'm not blaming him, but a lot of bad things happened with President Putin and President Obama. One of the things that happened was, as you know, what happened in with a very big area, a very, very big and important area in the Middle East where the red line was drawn. And then President Obama decided that he was not going to do anything about it. You can't draw red lines in the sand.
Now he's pivoting to Syria.
Yes.
And the red line about chemical weapons and stuff
right,
like that.
Right. Why he's drawing a red line in the sand. You just draw a line in the sand. You draw a red line.
Oh, black people draw red lines.
Oh, okay, okay.
That he was not going to do anything about it. You can't draw red lines in the sand. You just can't do it. And the other was in Ukraine having to do with a certain section of Ukraine that you know very well where
I can't remember the name. It's Crimea.
A certain section of the Ukraine. It was a country, right?
Section of Ukraine that you know very well, where it was sort of taken away from President Obama. Not taken away from President Trump, taken away from President Obama.
No, it was taken away from Ukraine. It was taken away from the people of the country. It wasn't taken away from Obama.
Right.
It wasn't taken away from you.
Yes.
It was sort of taken away from President Obama, not taken away from President Trump, taken away from President Obama. President Obama was not happy that this happened because it was embarrassing to him, right? It was very embarrassing to him. And he wanted Russia to be out of the what was called the G8. And that was his determination. He was outsmarted by Putin. He was outsmarted. President Putin outsmarted President Obama. Wait a minute.
See, now she wants to follow up because that's bullshit.
Right.
And he's like, no, wait a minute.
Determination. He was outsmarted by Putin. He was outsmarted. President Putin outsmarted President Obama. Wait a minute. And I can understand how President Obama would feel. He wasn't happy. And they're not in for that reason. Now,
I get it. I would kick him out, too. If somebody outsmarted me, nobody's ever outsmarted me, of course.
Yeah, yeah. And he won't let her interject. He won't let
Not
this
yet,
reporter.
She does.
God,
I'm only thinking about
the world, and I'm thinking about this country in terms of the G7, whether it's G7, G8.
Yeah.
I think it would be better to have Russia inside the tent than outside the tent. Do we live either way? Yes, we live either way. Is it politically popular for me to say that? Possibly not. I think a lot of people would agree with me, frankly, but possibly not. I do nothing for politics. I know a lot of you aren't.
God damn.
I do nothing for politics.
I mean, this guy, this is like Nazi Harold Hill.
But possibly not. I do nothing for...
But dumb, rambling Nazi.
Oh, yeah.
Possibly, maybe, but yes. Jeez. You know, I think everybody agrees with me, but possibly not. But I think they do, but I don't know. But maybe they do, maybe they don't. It doesn't matter. I think they are.
Ah!
I believe they do. Everybody knows it. You know it. I know it.
Let's nuke a storm.
For politics. I know a lot of you aren't going to. You're going to smile at that. I do nothing for politics. I do what's right. And people like what I do. But I just do what's right. If I wanted to go strictly by politics, I'd probably poll that. And possibly I'd say, oh, gee, I don't want Russia in. But I really think it's good for security of the world. It's good for the economics of the world. Remember, they're building a big pipeline in Europe going right up to Germany. And I said to Angela, who I had a great relationship, but I said, you know.
I don't think she likes you, dude.
His
idea of a great relationship is not her idea of a great relationship.
Yeah, no.
I said to Angela, who I had a great relationship, but I said, you know, you pay Russia billions of dollars, and then we defend you from Russia.
What?
And I say, how does that work?
Misleading statement that Russia outsmarted President Obama.
Well, he did.
Why do you keep using the misleading statement that Putin outsmarted Obama? But he did.
Well, he did.
From Russia.
What?
And I say, how does that work?
Misleading statement that Russia outsmarted President Obama.
Well, he
when
did.
Other countries have said that the reason why Russia was kicked out was very clearly because they annexed Crimea. Why keep repeating what some people would see as a clear lie?
Well, it was annexed during President. I know you like President Obama, but
there it is.
Bam.
You're biased. You're unfair. I know you like President Obama.
And by the way, kudos for this journalist.
Yeah, me, Shaw Cinder, yeah.
Lie. She used the word lie. Well, why don't we hear that more often? Why don't we hear lie? Mm-hmm. Why don't we hear you're a racist more?
Why are you repeating?
God.
It would see as a clear lie.
Well, it was annexed during President... I know you like President Obama, but it was annexed during President Obama's term. If it was annexed during my term...
Yeah, Misha's black, by the way. I don't know if why he thinks she likes Obama.
I know you like Obama.
During President Obama's term. If it was annexed during my term, I'd say, sorry, folks, I made a mistake. Or, sorry, folks. President Obama was helping Ukraine. Crimea was annexed during his term. Now, it's a very big area, very important area. Russia has its submarine. That's where they do their submarine work, and that's where they dock large and powerful submarines, but not as powerful as ours and not as large as ours.
God, yes. Oh, Jesus.
I mean,
Christ.
God, what is he doing? Is he just...
But not as large as ours or as powerful as ours.
This guy feels confident enough about his knowledge of Crimea to talk about the history of what happened?
Well, no, he couldn't
happened?
Remember the name of it until she reminded him.
Oh, that's right. That's
it's
right.
A very big and important area in Ukraine. You remember. You know what I'm talking about.
Is he suggesting that because Putin took it over during Obama's term, that he should just ignore it? Like, he shouldn't have to consider what Putin did to Crimea since it happened during Obama's term, right?
All right.
But that doesn't negate that it happened.
Hey, I
and
like
then
it.
He did it.
He likes it. He thinks Putin,
he likes it.
Putin Cleveland steamed him.
He likes it.
Oh,
he
yeah.
loves it.
He humiliated Obama.
We don't have a problem with a country rolling into another country and taking part of their land.
Vlad, I love how you humiliated him. That was so great.
Oh, God.
When he took Crimea.
Right, right.
Not Georgia, though, when you humiliated George Bush.
I mean, really.
By taking Georgia.
What a fucking shit. It's nuts.
So this was the batshit, part of the batshit press conference at the G7.
Do you think he's so mad at this reporter for suggesting he lied?
Oh, she'll be in trouble. They're going to yank her credentials or something. There'll be some kind of.
There'll be a punishment.
What do you mean lied?
There'll be a retribution.
Hashtag Trump bed bugs is trending.
Oh,
somebody is suing Doral for bed bugs.
Oh my God. He's going to give the G7 bed bugs. God, what is wrong with our country?
Hashtag Trump bed bugs is trending.
I've never been to this Doral resort. I don't know, but I will tell you that bed bugs is a negative in my, you know, I'm not into bed bugs. I think that's a, I don't know.
I was having an allergy event.
Bed bugs? Suing him for bed bugs?
Yeah.
Suing!
A 63-year-old is filing suit along with photos of his back and neck riddled with red blotches after he slept at Doral's $300 a night Jack Nicklaus themed villa.
Goddamn, dude. So he's suing. That means they didn't give him his money back or.
Oh, and they settled.
Oh, shit.
This is in January 2017. I'm sure it was one of these. We'll settle, but we're not admitting any culpability or any. We did anything wrong. We're just paying you to shut up.
Right. Because I imagine bed bugs isn't a. I don't care how hard you want to suck Trump's dick. I guarantee you this. You're not going to want to sleep in a bed with bugs in it. You're not doing that, right? If you're a rich person, do you really want to go to a hotel with bed bugs? I mean, that's the worst, dude.
A court-appointed mediator filed a notice that said an agreement was reached.
Okay.
So they settled.
Got it. I remember in L.A. when there was, you know, all these bed bugs and people would leave their furniture that was infested with bed bugs. You'd see like big razor strikes through it or they'd spray paint bed bugs they'll take. And I mean, parrot.
Trending on the Twitter now.
It's Trump a parasite, right?
Yeah. It's a bloodsucker.
Gross, man. Our president has bed bugs.
At his fancy resort that he wants. Well, I'm sure we'll have to pay for them to get rid of bed bugs and all the mattresses.
I
think the taxpayers should pay for that because I'm not gonna.
Oh yeah,
it's not gonna be my fault that Angela wants new mattresses and doesn't like bed bugs.
Where is the G7 this year? I missed that.
Paris,
well, and
France.
Our answer to that is gonna be Florida,
Miami. No offense, Miami, but
oh God,
you're no Paris.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, but you are no Paris. I mean, not New York. You can't get New York, you know. Chicago would be nice.
Right.
Paris is beautiful. Doral, Florida, though. Oh, it's amazing. Sorry about the bed bugs. There's fuck tons of snakes, you know, mosquitoes, alligators, bed bugs, lunatics with guns, Florida people, Florida men, meth.
He's just trying to get a free renovation and tons of free advertising. For his shitty golf course.
We also have Stand Your Ground in Florida. That's nice.
Oh, we do.
So if you're from a country where you're not white, you better be careful driving around our fucking state. Because who fucking knows with these lunatic cops in Florida, dude? Who fucking knows?
Oh, we actually had a story. I think there was a verdict. I want to say it's Friday night after the show.
Oh, shit.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And thanks for all your downloads. It was a case where a white dude shot a black guy. They were out somewhere and they had a dispute. They tussled. The black guy pushed the white guy down.
Right.
And then was backing away and walking away from him. And the white guy pulled out his gun and killed him.
Oh my God.
Of course, they were trying to claim stand your ground.
Right, right.
And I felt for my life, and he morphed into a demon after he pushed me over, you know, and all this stuff. But prosecutors eventually charged this guy with one count of manslaughter.
Right. He morphed into a demon.
And it was a, they considered this a test of the stand your ground law.
Right.
Here in Florida.
Can't we just get rid of that?
Michael Dreka, D-R-E-J-K-A, citing the floor. By the way, he had all the signs were not good.
Yeah.
That this guy was going to see any jail time.
In right.
This racist scumbag, Sanford, Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, no. That's where Trayvon got killed.
Oh, okay.
The county sheriff didn't arrest the guy.
Oh, my God.
Just
let him go?
Who is white until 3 weeks after he had fatally shot Marcus McLaughlin, who was black and unarmed.
3 weeks?
Because of the stand your ground law. The sheriff was like, sounds like stand your ground to me.
So when you exercise your right to stand your ground, whatever the fuck that means, so law enforcement just comes in, they're like, well, it looks like you were standing your ground. You can move along. If you're white.
Well, yeah, he said he points to the dead body of the morphed demon black.
Shit.
He did not testify at his own trial.
Yes.
The jury deliberated for less than 6 hours and found him guilty, guilty, guilty.
Oh, fucking shit, man.
His sentencing is set for October 10th. Could face up to 30 years in prison.
So, like, so why would the stand your ground law even exist in? Do you know what I mean?
And this is this fucking asshole sheriff, too. The lawyer said, my client doesn't know how it went from the sheriff saying he committed no crime to the state attorney then charging him so aggressively pursuing him.
Well, maybe the sheriff was racist. Maybe there's that. I mean, listen.
They're saying it was political after Al Sharpton showed up and stirred up the pot.
That still doesn't justify somebody getting fucking shot.
Well, right.
I mean, and also, too, if a sheriff misinterprets the stand your ground law or can't tell when it's being used or exercised, then how is a normal person supposed to know? Like, how do I know when I'm standing my ground and when I'm killing someone? God, how do you know?
July 19th, 2018, McLaughlin, 28, was in the convenience store with his 5-year-old son. His son watched him die.
Oh, my God.
While his girlfriend and two small children were sitting in a car parked in a handicap space, Draca appeared. Approached the car, started arguing with the girlfriend about parking in the space without a handicap permit.
Yeah.
In grainy surveillance footage of the scene, McLaughlin leaves the store, approaches Draca, shoves him to the ground.
Oh, my God.
Draca appears to take a few steps, or McLaughlin takes a few steps back from Draca, who pulls out a gun when sitting on the pavement and shoots.
Oh, shit.
McLaughlin stumbled back into the store, clutching his chest wound. He collapsed next to his son, was taken to hospital where he's pronounced dead.
Oh, my God. What a horror scene.
Originally passed in 2005, the Stand Your Ground law allows people to use deadly force without first trying to retreat from a dangerous situation if they reasonably believe their lives are threatened. In 2017, the Florida legislature strengthened the law, shifting the burden of proof to prosecutors in immunity hearings. Defendants no longer are required to offer evidence to prove their claim was stand your ground. Well, that's ridiculous.
That is crazy. You know what? Didn't Newsom in California pass some law saying that cops can only use lethal force when absolutely
necessary now? Yeah. And the cops are like, you hate cops.
How can we have...
What do you mean we can't kill people just because?
How in this country can we have so many things that are... It's so different, right? In Florida, if you're a citizen, you don't really have to prove that you had to stand your ground to shoot someone, right?
That's what they made it. Yeah. Originally, you did.
But in California, if you're a policeman that's armed, you have to prove that you had no choice but to use lethal force.
Our previous governor was Rick Scott, our current governor is Ron DeSantis.
And in California,
our previous governor was Jerry Brown, and now we have Gavin Newsom.
Damn, I wish I could remember which comedian I know does this joke, but he talks about how Republicans just must be into the, you know, BDSM, you know what I mean? Just based on like all these like horrible laws and shit that just hurt people. I mean, they must like it. They must like to have a daddy.
Cruelty and
yeah.
Yeah, and power over others and stuff. It's really kind of punitive.
And the stand your ground law thing to me seems particularly dangerous in the fact that we've done stories that if you have a gun, if you have a gun on your person, you know that you could kill someone, right? You know that that's always there. So then escalating an argument to you means something different than to me, right?
Sorry, blowing my nose.
No, that's right. But right? I mean,
well, yeah. And this guy thought he was going to skate. They say he was bewildered when they read the verdict. Couldn't believe it. He thought, hey, he pushed me over. I could shoot him.
So, I mean,
he was wrong.
So why? It's so goddamn irresponsible that this state has this law, because it sounds to me that it's unreasonable to think that somebody could interpret it correctly. Like, how do you know when you're standing your ground, and how do you know when you're committing murder?
Well, right.
It's bananas. It's absolutely insane.
It's like
giving somebody license. You're like, if you're mad enough to shoot this guy in Florida, there's a chance that you might get away with it because of stand your ground.
Well, and also they took away the provision that if you have a chance to flee the situation, you do. That's what the whole stand your ground means. Is now, before, you used to have to extract yourself from the situation if you could. Then they said, fuck that. I'm standing my ground.
But Trayvon was more murdered by Zimmerman.
Yes.
He George Zimmerman stood his ground, even though that 911 operator
told him to stay the fuck away and mind his own business. And he still confronted him. And Trayvon morphed into a demon and started beating up poor, beleaguered little Zimmerman. So Zimmerman had to shoot him.
It just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
I mean, how do you know? And also, too, aren't you worried you're going to get shot? I mean, God, do we need... What's crazy is, it's a law that gives someone a reason to shoot. It's a law that gives someone a reason to use their gun.
Yeah.
In an altercation. Or it makes you believe that there are lots of different scenarios when you're not going to have a choice. It's so bananas.
This guy got pushed over, and then the guy was backing away. He's like, get away from my car, get away from my girlfriend.
And then he shot.
Knocks the asshole over. Starts backing away, and the guy pulls a gun and kills him.
Wouldn't a sane person not want to shoot someone, even if you don't like them, even if...
What if they're a black demon, though?
It's always
racism.
I mean, that's their reasoning.
I mean,
it's always racism, right?
It's racism. Black people are scary. To their core, these sad little racists are terrified
of
black people.
And they're looking at someone and they've already dehumanized them. And now they have the stand your ground law. And now they're thinking, I have to shoot it, this thing, this person that I don't assign any life to. It's expendable. I'm going to shoot this person because I'm standing my ground. It is baffling.
This is good news.
Yes.
Because well, it's last week.
Hey.
There was a ruling in Kentucky.
Hey.
The Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals,
right,
ruled that the state of Kentucky must pay the attorney's fees to four couples who sued Kim fucking Davis refusing to sign their marriage licenses.
Why was Kim Davis fired immediately when she wouldn't do her fucking job?
The court, well, they threw her in jail.
Oh, that's right.
The court upheld the lower court ruling awarding $224,000 in legal costs to the four couples.
Yes.
Although her former role as the Rowan County clerk gave her sovereign immunity from being sued, the court ruled that Davis can be sued in her individual capacity.
Oh, shit.
And now Matt Staver and the evil Liberty Council, these crooked lawyers, these Christo fucks that swoop in and try to protect all the Jesus wielders that are trying to get away with Christian privilege.
Yes.
Are now desperately trying to fundraise.
No shit.
Because they're worried that now she's going to be live. She's going to be open to personal lawsuits by these people.
Oh, fuck.
Which she should.
Absolutely.
This is like the cops. We should be able to go after their shit. And then you watch how many people's rights are going to start getting violated.
Oh, it'll change.
Of course.
It'll change. Of course it will.
In an email, the evangelical law firm Liberty Counsel that represented Kim Davis is scrambling to raise funds.
Yeah, yeah.
For new rounds of court battles. They sent off an email that said, Kim Davis risked everything she had rather than violate her conscience. She refused to endorse what God prohibits by issuing marriage licenses with her signature to the same-sex couples.
Please fuck off.
Meanwhile, the law firm has been, the Liberty Council has been designated as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center.
That's nice. Do you imagine you have some fucking organization and they're like, oh, guess what? I'm a hate group now.
Staver wrote, not only that, but radical LGBT activists and their allies want revenge. Will you donate now to help Kim through victory and to help the Liberty Council defend freedom, life, and marriage in other cases across America?
Oh, when does it stop with these religious loons? Listen to me. If you're listening to this fucking podcast and you believe in this Jesus shit, please stop. It's insane. You need get smoke a big fat joint. God damn, that dog is relentless. It's relentless.
Staver said, at the end of the day, Kim Davis will ultimately prevail. She had no hostility to anyone, given that she stopped issuing all marriage licenses. So remember, at first she was like, no marriage for anybody.
What?
The broader issue is what accommodation a court should provide someone based on their religious beliefs.
God damn.
This is that religious freedom bullshit.
I believe in Aquaman. I believe in Aquaman. Mm-hmm. And I think I should be able to marry an eel.
Right.
So fuck you.
What about the Satanic Temple people who believe that they shouldn't have to wait 3 days for an abortion or have to have a birthday party and a naming ceremony for the little baby?
Because my religion says it's my body, and fuck you.
Exactly. And what? That's where they're genius, the Satanic Temple, suing in Missouri. And the fucking piece of shit judge in Missouri copped out because they had a woman who had standing.
Yes.
Tried to go get an abortion. They told her, no, you got to wait 48 hours. Right. You're going to get cancer and all, you know, all that bullshit. And she's like, fuck you. I want my abortion. This is my right. This is my sincerely held religious beliefs that my body is inviolate.
Yes.
I make decisions about my body and I want my abortion fucking now.
Yeah, my sky god says this. Fuck your sky god.
But because technically she eventually went on and had the abortion.
Yes.
Because it takes months and months. Then the judge said, well, she has no standing. There's no case right now. So let's throw this out.
It's a war on women.
Right.
They hate women.
We got to get going. Shelby's so insisting funny. It's time to go.
She's like, I'm done with this fucking podcast.
She's pushing my microphone away from my face. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Yay.
We'll do it again tomorrow, Tuesday, 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific, 5 to 7 Eastern. Then we're on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, your favorite application. We're always at crabdiving.com. Ryan's going to be doing some stand-up comedy soon. Find out where and when. Go to his Twitter feed, Rated R Comedy. His Instagram's Rated R Comedy. Go to his website, which is RatedRComedy.com.
Follow Very Funny Patrick Vile on Twitter or Instagram at Vile Experience. Oh, so freaking vile.
You want war against our children? You want war against God? You will get war.
Please clap.
Thank you for listening to Crab Diving. Catch the crabs on Facebook. Facebook.com/crabdiving. And on Twitter and Instagram @crabdiving.